Be joyful in God your Savior. That's easier said than done, isn't it? In fact, it's hard to find joy in God when He does things and allows things that don't make any sense to us. For example, when God confronts us about our sin and tells us that we deserve hell for something that we think is maybe not that big of a deal, let's be honest, it's hard to find joy in God when He does that. Or when God allows trials and tragedies in our lives, even though we've done our best to trust Him and live according to His will, let's face it, it's hard to find joy in God when He allows that. When God tells us that our good works don't make us better than other people, when God tells us that those good works count absolutely for nothing when it comes to our salvation, well, let's be honest, when God tells us that, it's hard to find joy in Him. You see, we sinners expect God to act a certain way. And when He doesn't act the way we expect, well, it's hard to find joy in Him. Today's sermon is based on sections of the prophet Habakkuk, who prophesied in God's name around 605 BC. Habakkuk was sent to the southern kingdom of Judah to warn them about their sin and how they would eventually face God's judgment if they refused to repent and seek God's mercy. However, the more Habakkuk preached to the southern kingdom, the more they hardened their hearts and rejected God's word. And Habakkuk was becoming impatient. Therefore, in Habakkuk chapter 1, we hear Habakkuk cry out to God and asking God, "How long will you endure being mocked and rejected by these people in the southern kingdom?" And how does God answer Habakkuk? God's answer is that He will eventually raise up the Babylonians, or in some translations of the Bible, they're called the Chaldeans. He will raise up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, and they will be used by God to punish His people in the southern kingdom. However, when Habakkuk hears about God's plan, his response is not joy. When Habakkuk hears that God plans to use the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to punish His people, well, Habakkuk becomes frustrated, he becomes confused, you might even say he gets angry with God. You see, even though God's people in the southern kingdom were evil, the fact is, the Chaldeans or the Babylonians were even worse. That's why Habakkuk says to God, "Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" In other words, God, yes, your people in Judah need to be punished, but you're using a people even worse than them to do it. Habakkuk did want God to punish southern Judah, but what Habakkuk couldn't understand was why God would use a pagan nation even more evil than southern Judah to discipline them. Habakkuk can't understand God's ways, and so he doesn't like God's ways. And as a result, Habakkuk has no joy in God. Therefore, God answers Habakkuk with these words of rebuke. "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith." What is God saying here? Simply put, there are two kinds of people in this world. On the one hand, there are unbelievers who are puffed up. Unbelievers who trust in themselves. You might remember in our reading from Habakkuk, God condemned people who worshipped vain idols, idols made by man. And we might think, "You're right, God. They were really foolish. They made these idols and then they worshipped them and expected those idols to guide them. How foolish those people were." And yet, we're no better. Oh, we might not make images out of wood and stone and bow down to them, but we also are tempted to trust in idols just like Habakkuk. You see, Habakkuk was guilty of worshiping an idol. His own reason. His own opinions. And boy, oh boy, aren't we guilty of that in our modern age. We might not bow down to idols of wood and stone, but we do bow down to our own reason and our own judgment. And we use that to judge God. So, unbelievers are puffed up. Their desires are not upright because they refuse to trust in God. Such people question God's ways and choose to live according to their own wisdom. And such people will never, ever experience the joy of God. On the other hand, though, there are those who repent and trust in God. God calls them the righteous. And they live by faith. In other words, they repent of trusting in their reason, and they trust in God and His ways, even when God's ways don't make any sense to them. And by doing that, they find joy in God. So God is calling Habakkuk and you and me and all people to repent. He's calling us to repent of our sinful questioning of God and His ways. He's calling us to simply trust in Him and believe His word and know that His plans for us are what are best. Only then can we have joy in God. In fact, you may recall that the Apostle Paul quoted these words of God from Habakkuk in his letter to the Romans. Let me read part of that again for you. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written," referring to Habakkuk, "the righteous will live by faith." The righteous live because they trust God's plan to save them. So what is God's plan to save us? Well, Paul talks about that in the book of Romans. Let me sum up that message very, very briefly by making 3 points. What does the book of Romans teach us about God's plan of salvation? Number one, God teaches us that we are all sinners who deserve nothing but God's wrath. Period. Number two, God sends His Son into the world to save us from our rebellion against God. How did He do that? By taking our sin upon Himself and going to the cross and being damned in our place. And then conquering death for us by His own resurrection. And then number three, in order that we might actually receive the salvation that Jesus accomplished for us by His death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to convict us of sin, to crush our pride, and to give us faith in Jesus as our only Savior. In a nutshell, my friends, that's God's plan to save us. God's plan of salvation should bring us great joy. But sadly, many people don't like God's plan of salvation. Does that surprise you? For example, in the days of Martin Luther, there were many people who claimed to be Christians, and yet they believed they could earn their way into heaven, and they could make up for their sins, which they had no intentions of giving up, by paying certain amounts of money to the church. But in contrast, when they heard the truth, they despised it. When they heard Luther preach that they deserved nothing but God's wrath and that their only hope was to repent of their sin and trust in God's Son, they didn't like it. They had no joy in it. In the same way, my friends, people today do not want to hear that they are sinners who deserve God's wrath. Many people actually despise the teaching that their good works count for nothing and that Jesus is their only hope of salvation. I remember talking to a man in town once who claimed to be an agnostic. And he said, well, I don't believe there is a God, but since you do, tell me what your God is like. And so I said, okay, God created us, we rejected him, and even though we deserve nothing but God's wrath, he sent his son to die on the cross in our place of damnation. And you know what his response to that was? That's the biggest bunch of BS I have ever heard in my life. You see, that's what we are by nature. People who despise God's plan, even his plan to save us. In fact, if you recall, the Apostle Paul himself, who wrote the book of Romans, even he used to despise the gospel of Christ. At one time, Paul had no joy in Jesus whatsoever. But then Jesus himself appeared to Paul and changed his heart. And once Paul trusted God's word, once Paul trusted God's plan of salvation, then and only then did Paul have joy in God. Therefore, in our reading from Romans chapter 1, Paul quotes the book of Habakkuk. Again, the righteous will live by faith. Simply put, the only way we can have joy in God is to repent and trust in him, even when his ways make no sense to us. And God doesn't make sense to us. We can't understand why God says all our sins deserve hell, when most of those sins don't seem to be all that bad, at least to us. We can't understand why our good works don't make us better than other people. We can't understand why our good works shouldn't somehow make up for our sins and make us worthy of salvation. We don't get it. We can't understand why God allows us to suffer pain and persecution even though we've done our best to obey him. But, my friends, as long as we choose to question God, as long as we think we know better than he does, we will have no joy in him. However, when God humbles us and crushes our pride, when he moves us to trust in him even though we don't understand his ways, that's when we can begin to experience his joy. The prophet Habakkuk needed to remember that. You see, Habakkuk was upset because God was going to use the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to discipline the people in Judah. And Habakkuk didn't like the way God was doing things. So God had to rebuke Habakkuk and remind him that believers live by faith. Believers trust God even when his ways seem mysterious or even wrong. Think about it, my friends. Human wisdom says you get what you deserve. If you're bad, you get punishment. But if you're good, you get blessings. You even deserve them, right? In other words, human wisdom says that God should give us what we deserve. However, God's wisdom says that if he were to give us what we deserve, we'd all be in hell right now and I'd be the first in line. He says that because we're all sinners who deserve nothing but God's wrath. But thanks be to God, he gives us what we don't deserve. God gives us his Son, through whom we have forgiveness and the certain hope of eternal life in God's love. And so, Habakkuk had to learn to trust God even though he didn't understand God's ways. Yes, God was going to use the pagan Babylonians to discipline his own people. We also know that God was doing this because he loved his people. He was hoping that through this discipline, they would repent and seek his mercy. And he would then forgive them. You see, my friends, even though God does care about our earthly needs, God also knows that if we have earthly peace and earthly prosperity, but we refuse to repent of our sin and trust in Jesus for salvation, then we have no hope. So sometimes God will discipline us in the hope that we will humble ourselves and repent and recognize that our greatest need is to stop trusting in ourselves and instead to trust in God's Son who gives us forgiveness and eternal life with God. In fact, Jesus himself talked about this in our gospel reading. You see, Jesus' apostles, along with many other Jews, had hoped that Jesus would destroy the Romans and give God's people freedom and earthly prosperity. But instead of doing that, what did Jesus do? He preached that people should repent of their sins and trust in him as their Savior. In fact, in order to give them forgiveness, Jesus taught that he would have to die in their place of damnation. Jesus tried to explain this to his disciples even on the night before his death, the night he instituted the Lord's Supper. He also taught them that they would see him again after he rose from the dead. But here's the kicker, here's the mystery. Even though Jesus said he would rise from the dead, he also taught his disciples that they would still be persecuted for their faith in him. Even though Jesus had the power to conquer death itself, he would still allow his disciples to be persecuted and killed for their faith in him. Nevertheless, Jesus says, they can still rejoice. Why? Listen to Jesus' words. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Simply put, Jesus tells his disciples and us to trust in him and to rejoice in him. Even though we will have trouble in this world, Jesus has overcome this sinful world for us. How? Our sins are forgiven because of his death for us. We have the hope of eternal life because of his resurrection for us. And nothing we face in this world, not even death, can separate us from the hope we have in Jesus. Well, this takes us back to the days of Habakkuk. God had told Habakkuk that in the near future, the Babylonians would invade Judah and destroy them. But again, God was going to allow this in the hope that his people would repent and seek God's mercy and be saved from eternal hell. Once Habakkuk accepted this, the Holy Spirit moved him to write these awesome words of faith. Listen, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Did you hear that? Even though Habakkuk could not understand why God was using the pagan Babylonians to discipline the southern kingdom, and even though God's people would lose everything in the process, Habakkuk still trusted that God was his Savior. In fact, my friends, God is your Savior too. God is your Savior, even though he may allow us believers to suffer trial and persecution in this life. You see, my friends, even if we believers lose everything this world holds dear, even if we believers lose our food and our clothing and our shelter, even if we lose our very lives, we can still rejoice in God, our Savior. That's what it means to live by faith. God says that he has given us believers what we need and more. He's given us what we need most, forgiveness of sins and eternal life with our Creator. So, once again, even if we face suffering and persecution in this world, Even when God does things we can't understand, we can still rejoice in Him because He is our God, He is our Savior. He has given us His own Son to prove it. And because of what His Son has done for us, not even death can separate us from the hope we have in Him. So my friends, rejoice in the Lord, especially when everything around you falls apart, especially when life doesn't seem to make any sense. Live by faith and rejoice in the Lord, because He is your Savior, and nothing can separate you from the hope that you have in Jesus. Amen.